If you follow along in your reading in the Old Testament, you'll note that the Lord as victor then takes his people through water and then provides them with bread. In John's Gospel, which is where our Gospel reading will come from today, the Lord as victor is present, and that all is reversed. He then provides bread for 5,000 and then crosses some water. And our reading will pick up at that point, for our Lord is the victor. He is also the bread of life. I invite you to stand. Our Lord addresses those who sought him after he crossed the water. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise
a single verse, our passage for the sermon this day, our scripture lesson. From the Lord's Prayer, from the Sermon on the Mount, this request, this petition, we are taught to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Thus far the reading of God's Word, and we'll trust the Lord to add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing and to the application of His Word in all that we do. To His name be the glory, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. All right, the topic of food is before us, daily bread, daily food, and let's admit it from the outset, food is a wake-up topic. It's a wake-up topic. People take an interest in the subject of food. Every one of us does in one way or the other. The subject of food is also suggestive. By me simply suggesting food and eating, some of you are thinking, you know, I am hungry. It's a suggestive topic. It happens. Food is a big deal. And we will today not be dealing with concerns over foods, such as obesity or foodolatry, because there is a food idolatry going on. We'll be dealing more with the delight of food, the gift of food, the wonder of food. We are to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." So food is a big deal. And by the way, it's not just that our adult attention is grabbed when it comes to food. The attention of children is stirred up as well. Children and food. So I'm going to ask the children to participate in this for just a little bit. So children, be ready. Any ages, children? We know that sometimes babies or wee ones will cry when they're hungry. Everyone knows that. Sometimes. Children's stories. This is where I want your involvement. I'd like you to interact with me just a little bit. Children's stories often include food. For many of these stories, if you remove the food, duty ushers on that, so we'll give you a report in just a moment. You remove the food from the children's story, and the story completely changes, or maybe is ruined altogether, just becomes non-existent. I'm going to mention a few of these stories, and then I'm going to ask you for your input. Okay, frog and toad stories. A lot of food in those frog and toad stories. I've even referenced the cookies one. They're up making cookies. How about this? You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Come on, work with me on this. What about in fairy tales, and some of them are pretty intense. What about the connection between witches and poisoned apples? You know, they were, oh. But, you know, the story doesn't work without the apple, the poisoned apple, the poisoned fruit of the tree. The little red hen, finds a grain. And who wants to help me bake bread? Not me. Not I. And then, of course, the bread comes out of the oven and everyone wants to eat the bread. So the story is presented. There's a lot. There's food there. Speaking of little and red, how about Little Red Riding Hood? Okay, that came to my mind as well. And then I thought in an odd sense, the three little pigs, that's kind of an odd, you know, there's some eating that's desired there. Goldilocks and the three bears. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Children, can you name some stories, children's stories that have to do with food or eating? And I may not be able to hear you, so you have to lift your hand or, yes, ma'am. Huh? Blueberries for Sal. Okay. Mark that one. I did write down a few, so blueberries for Sal. Got it. Now, someone else. This side of the room. Oh, this side. Hansel and Gretel, that's right. You know, where did E.T. get the little Skittles thing? Hansel and Gretel. That's right. Okay, another one. Thank you. Yes. If you give a mouse a cookie, we all know what happens if you give a mouse a cookie. It's just crazy. So, what? Yes. The hungry worm. That's right. Very good. Okay. 2-1. Yes. What? Pokey little puppy. You have taken me back now. That's a stroll down amnesia lane for me. I now remember that. I had forgotten about that. Pokey little puppy. That's right. Another. Children. Yes. Is that Ricky? Okay. What? Princess and the Pea. Okay, I didn't have that one on here, but thank you. Very good. Yes, ma'am. If you give a moose a muffin, is that another iteration on the mouse a cookie one? What's next? If you give a crocodile a cucumber? Okay, good. Thank you. Well, the Hoffmans are... Is that you, Bella? Okay, Bella. Go, speak up. Go, Bella. What? Okay, same one. That's good, though. That's a good story. All right. Let's see. Some people think chocolate is the food. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. How about stone soup? There's one right there. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Green eggs and ham. And some of you are thinking, that's not appropriate food. So, okay. Children learn a great deal about life and themselves when it comes to food and when it comes to eating. Stories make sense. Our Lord's story begins with food. The opening line addressing Adam and Eve, our first parents, are, I've given you these bushes and these trees for food. This is your menu, okay? Menu. The opening story, food. And there's a fall at food. Lessons are all over the place. Families. We could likely, if we had had a fellowship meal today, what we could have done is sat around the tables and told stories about family stories of things that happened growing up or in your own home. And all of you, I'm sure, have just wonderful stories. Lessons are all over the place when it comes to eating. And we are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Father Patrick Henry Reardon in 2009 wrote an article called Virtue Begins with a Spoon. I'm going to reference part of that article right now. Speaking of gaining wisdom, the wise man is one who knows how to live wisely in society and spends his life in pursuit of its greater good. A wise person knows how to live in society. Huh, I wonder where we're going to learn society. He goes on, and where does a wise man acquire the rudiments of this calling? When he first learns to eat with his family. We sit down, or we stand, give us this day our daily bread. It is at meals, he continues, that souls are nourished as well as bodies. Oh, it is in this setting, he says, that one gradually learns the art of the inner check. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. We learn and we practice self-control at table. There are things that may not be done at table, and certain subjects never spoken of. And certain other things must be said or done at the table. We say no, and we say yes. We shall not do this, and we shall do this. Reardon goes on, first, a person learns to pray at the table, to thank God for the blessings. He thus acquires the habit of gratitude. Any of you realize, if you are to pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're shaped into gratitude. You look like gratitude. You come walking down the way, and that's what gratitude looks like. What's the shape of gratitude? That person. What does gratitude sound like? Someone who gives thanks for the food. A man that does not pray, Reardon says, at meals is no better than a dog. We have a nice dog at home. Very, very fine. The best dog I've ever met in my life. Lucy has never prayed before eating. Never. Now, she is an odd dog. If we'll gather in our kitchen and join hands to pray, that dog will come right in the middle and lay upside down. But she's not praying. Second, Reardon goes on, because the person has just thanked God for his food, one cannot logically complain of it. Think about that. What are some of the lessons you learn at the meal? I give thanks. What am I going to do? Start griping about it? We give thanks for one another. What are we going to do? Start griping about it? Matter of fact, we all learn lessons. I love one of the lessons Pastor Booth mentioned. He says that to some of his children, he would say, with regard to food, you don't have to like it, but you do have to eat it. I went, that's interesting. And you may grow, and you'll likely grow to like it. How many of our tastes have changed over the years? And why is it that we allow our childhood tastes to say, that's going to be the way it is, law of the Medes and Persians from here on out? Never change. Reardon, a couple other points. He learns elementary self-control. He doesn't gorge himself like a mule. Fourth, one becomes versed in the formalities of speech. Questions are asked. There are certain gracious ladies in this congregation. It's delightful to sit at table with them, because when you sit at table with them, they're making inquiry into you. They're inclined. They're asking questions. How was your day? There are some young men and women in this congregation. I've been astonished that some of these young men and women will go up to others on a Lord's Day or a Wednesday night Bible study, and they'll inquire of the adult. They've learned the formalities of speech, a give and take. We were never allowed to complain. Here's just a little personal story. We were never allowed to complain about our food growing up. Whatever would be put on the table, we received it with gratitude. We had a set prayer every night. We had a certain type of salad every night. And it became this tendency as you're growing up every night, you're thinking, Well, my father, who served on a minesweeper in World War II, he said that on the ship, the sailors were never allowed to complain about the food. Otherwise, they had to take over everything, the cooking and the cleaning in the ship's galley. Was the food good, Dad? He said, no, it wasn't good. There became a line on the ship where they would complain about the food by complimenting it. And so they would say, the biscuits are burned, but I like them. And he says, we're not allowed to do that here. That became the joke. And what happened in our family, we would point in that and say, we're not going to do that. We're not going to say, dig, dig, dig. Lessons are learned through around food. We're learning about ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. By the way, food matters. Food is matter. Matter matters. Food is incarnational. Eating is a big deal. We do not live without it. And yes, it is true. 80 years ago, I took a home ec class in junior high school, home economics, and there we did some cooking. We followed recipes, and I was not good at it, and I had to learn. We also did some sewing, and it is true. My son didn't quite believe this, but I received a pattern and cut out a pattern for a backpack and made a tie-dye backpack. And it held together for about a week, and then it broke apart. These are very important matters to learn. Well, anyway, more recently in the decades that have rambled on since those days of junior high school, there has been a wonderful development of culinary programs, culinary schools, and culinary degrees. These are more popular than ever. Food programs are seemingly all over the place, featuring various kitchens and even the regional. On your marks, get set, bake, of the Great British Baking Show. There's a food network, and even on that, there's diners, drive-ins, and dives. And one time, Pastor Booth came up here, he said, I'm going to go to one of these diners, drive-ins, and dives that was featured. You want to go with me? And I, sure. And it was an old gas station. Food is a big deal. Give us this day our daily bread. We are made in the image of God. And our procuring, preparing, presentation, and reception of food all have aspects of creativity involved with them. We will take and we will transform and we will beautify and present, and we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It has been said that no animal is a cook. For an animal to eat bread, prepared bread, bread has to be given to the animal or dropped from the table. Or, if you have a very large dog or a hoppy dog, they will schnozzle their snout up onto the table and grab it. But they don't. The presence of bread reveals prior planning and effort. And by the way, the same is true of wine. Bread nor wine, they do not just happen. They do not just happen. We are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and we're involved in that. Food is not merely filler. Food is not merely filler. We do not eat at troughs. We do not want to pop a pill for our food. I love the delightful, prayerful prose of Robert Capon. O Lord, refresh our sensibilities. Give us this day our daily taste. Restore to us soups that spoons will not sink in, and sausage which are never the same twice. Raise up among us stews with more gravy than we have bread to blot it with, and casseroles that put starch and substance in our limp modernity. Take away our fear of fat and make us glad with the oil which ran down upon Aaron's beard. Give us pasta with 100 fillings and rice in 1,000 varieties. Give us this day our daily bread. In the Bible, food and eating are all over the place. I'd like to give you a very quick sampler platter. You can follow along on your outline. Here's a sampler platter of food and eating in the Bible. We know this. The Bible begins with a menu and a marriage. The Bible ends with a menu and a marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb. In between, from the beginning of the marriage and the menu, and the end of the marriage supper and of the Lamb, we see food laws and a sacrificial system with certain cuts of meat, provisions of grain, and even wine being involved. The goodness of creation. Passover, our Lord's redemption, our Lord's deliverance, our Lord's activity included food. In the wilderness, our Lord provided manna. What is it? It's a whitish bread with a honey flavor to it. In the tabernacle, in the temple, there was something called show bread. Hebrew is face bread, bread of the presence. And it was changed every week, which is one of the other reasons why we have weekly communion. In the temple and the tabernacle, there was weekly bread. Israel's calendar was a festival calendar. There were feasts for the most part. They were eating. They would gather and they would eat. When the children of Israel sinned, oh, by the way, note this, and parents, when you're reading stories to your children about food, and when they're reading stories about food, Be involved with the lessons, because it's not just teaching them and you about life, it's teaching them about themselves. What happens when it comes to food? You are exposed. In the wilderness, after wondrous deliverance, after the Passover meal, after going through the Red Sea, the children of Israel, in our Old Testament reading today, they're out there in the wilderness and they're grumbling about the lack of food. And then the Lord gives them food and they're going to grumble about that. Food reveals. When the children of Israel sinned through grumbling, it usually had something to do with food or drink. When covenants were made or renewed, eating was often involved. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Bethlehem, the city to which Naomi and Ruth went, Naomi returned. Ruth meets Boaz after the barley harvest. We're going to have bread, we're going to have beer, it's going to be a wonderful time. And they get married. Bethlehem, the city where Jesus was born, the bread of life. Luke's gospel, we saw this at Maundy Thursday. Luke's gospel could be read according to the meals in Luke's gospel. Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood. Take, eat, as often as you drink this cup." Bread is considered basic food. Give us this day our daily bread. Alexander Schmemann says that man is presented, first of all, right out of the pages of the Bible, as a hungry being. Second only, Schmemann says, to the direction to propagate, have babies, take dominion over the earth, fill it, is God's instruction to eat of the earth. Behold, take a look, open your eyes. I have given you every herb bearing seed. Pop it open. Take a look at that. It's an herb. Wow, there are little seeds in here. And every tree, which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. There. What I'd like to do today is I'd like to conclude this sermon, give us this day our daily bread, with 6 points. 6 points. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, offered 6 points about the words of this particular prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And he said this, every word here has a lesson in it. So the 6 words you can see there are bread and our, daily, it's give, us, and this. Pastor Matthew Henry said, let's look at each of these words. So what I'd like to do is to offer those 6 words and then offer just a few comments. Okay? And this is how we're going to conclude. And then what we're going to do is we're going to dismiss. We're going to have bread and wine, and then we're going to be dismissed to be people of gratitude and to be people who pray this way. The very first word is bread. Bread. By the way, this is Matthew Henry. We ask for bread, and this teaches us sobriety and temperance. We ask for bread, not dainties. Not superfluities. We ask for that which is wholesome. We're not asking for, Lord, provide us with this bread. If we noticed how beautiful this bread is, this is beautiful. Week after week, give us bread. Give us this basic need. And in this, you know what we are taught? We are taught contentment. Do you know that the scriptures teach, the wisdom literature says that a man will transgress for a slice of bread or for a piece of bread? Oh, remember, eating reveals. It says a lot about you. Somebody, I've got an idol here. Who gives it? Eating reveals. A man will transgress for a morsel of bread. We need to learn to pray the way that Agur prayed in Proverbs 30. Listen to this prayer. 2 things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood far from me and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Proverbs 30, 7, 8, and 9. Bread. We are taught contentment. Number two, hour. Not hour as in what time of day. Remove the H. Hour. Our bread. This teaches us honesty and industry. We are not to ask for the bread out of other people's mouths, nor are we to ask for the bread of deceit or the bread of idleness. We are to ask for the bread received honestly. And you know, from the beginning, where and when man and woman were to tend the garden, even before the fall, they were to tend to the garden. They had to do it more diligently after the fall. They, Adam and Eve, and we are to receive our bread through labor. Get to work. It then becomes our bread. We are to obtain our bread through industry. Get to work. The body of Christ will have some wondrous battles before us in the years to come, in the decades to come. The challenge for young people, as well as for those not so young, is to be people who model the image of God in industry, in labor, in effort. That's sweet bread. The bread of a laboring man is sweet to him. If someone will not work, he should be hungry. But then what happens? No, you need to give it to me. The first word is bread. The second word is hour. How is it that you ever have bread? Get to work. Third, daily. The third word is daily. Daily bread. This teaches us to trust the Lord for today. And in this sense, stop fretting about tomorrow, but to constantly depend upon the Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Does the Lord provide for the lilies of the field? Yes, and they're beautiful. Does our Lord provide for the sparrows? Yes. And you don't see them going from menu to menu to menu. Has the Lord provided for us? Bread. Daily bread is to move us to depend upon the Lord. Even as the manna was given every day for 6 days. Just go out and you're going to see the Lord's faithfulness. And by the way, why did the Lord have food issues? It's to test you. To test you. Exodus 16. Manna every day. Go out and gather each day. Just enough for your family. Go ahead, do it. And on the sixth day, just before the day of rest, gather 2 days. Gather enough for 2 days. Every day the Lord shows His faithfulness. Growing up, there were days we had very little. Very little. What a blessing to be able to see my mother and father go through that with gratitude. And there was none of this, hey, the biscuits are burned, but I like them. It was thankful. Lord, we thank you for what you have given to us. And there were some nights we had the exact same meal. Let's give thanks. Daily. Number four, give. The fourth word is give. We ask the Lord to give this to us. And yes, I know bread is larger than just ground wheat. In some parts of the world, it could be rice. Give us our daily needs. We ask the Lord to give it to us. We don't say, Lord, sell us this bread. Lord, lend us this bread. But give us this bread. We trust the Lord to give it. We rely upon the Lord. And the greatest or most important person in the world is dependent upon the Lord, whether or not he or she acknowledges it. Parents, teach your children this. Where did we get this bread? The Lord gave it. Well, Dad, didn't you go to work? Yes, it's our bread. I'm following the Lord's example. Mom, didn't you work? Yes, I worked diligently. Little children and the elderly, those of wealth and those of small means, we are all each dependent upon the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father. We ask, and our Heavenly Father has provided. 1 Corinthians 4:7, here's a question. What do you have that you did not receive? Pick it. What do you have? This? This? Your eye color? Your health or your lack thereof? What do you have that you didn't receive? Your breath. Given. Fifth word, us. We are taught to pray, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." But the word here is us. We pray, "Give this to us, not to me only, but to others as well." This teaches us charity and compassion, concern for others. And oh, and all of a sudden, our selfishness is exposed, because if it's simply a matter of my bread, my time to eat, me, food for me, then I have forgotten about my brothers and sisters around. And what about those who are desperately poor? This is not all about my food intake. This is a prayer for others. This is about our Lord giving us daily bread. Meals are communal matters. We learn a great deal about ourselves and others. And finally, number six, this. Last word, this day. We pray that God would give us this day. Today. What we need. And this teaches us that our Lord is the one who fulfills our desires and renews us. He renews us. Even as the needs of our bodies are met and renewed, and as regularly as the day arises, we should pray to our Heavenly Father that this day our every need will be met. Now, I want to show you something. We are taught about renewal and transformation every time we eat. We are taught of renewal and transformation every time we partake of bread and we partake of wine. A biblical understanding. The bread didn't show up that way. The wine didn't show up that way, but that bread had to go through a process. It had to be changed. It had to be made new. It had to be renewed. And the wine itself didn't. You don't go up to a tree and stick a spout in the tree and put your carafe underneath it and go, fill. It doesn't work that way. Every time we eat, we are being taught about renewal. Give us this day our daily bread. And so when we use that word daily, we are reminded that our Lord meets our needs every day and changes us every day because He is faithful. Grain. Long before the grain is incorporated into a loaf of bread, it must die. It must be split. It must change. From the splitting and the dying, wheat stalks occur by the providential appointment of the Lord. That grain of wheat is put into the ground and it splits. And the Lord gives the rain and He gives the sunshine and He provides the time. And it changes and stalks are formed. And the stalks are cut down and the stalks are processed. And other things, time, transformation. By the way, and all of our eating, there's an eschatological peak. There's a looking ahead. Even wine. We had this with a bottle of wine the other day. If you notice how wine has this ongoing transformation, it changes. When the bottle is first opened, it's one way. And then as it breathes, it's something else. And then it's in the glass, it's... We are being taught of transformation and change and to look to the days to come, every time we eat. What a joy. So I'm going to ask you this. Are you a grateful people? Do you stop, even when our Lord teaches us to pray? Pray this way. It's simple and yet it's profound. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are all connected. And I am grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Let us be people who eat and go forth with gratitude. Give us this day our daily bread. And amen. Heavenly Father, we are wondrously needy. Continue to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the way that you train us and shape us through food and drink. But we now give you thanks for inviting us to your table so that we may partake of the transformed grain and the transformed grapes. Continue your work of shaping us and transforming us. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.